So as I say, we've been studying the life of Jacob, and we've been looking at these various events in his life. Now this evening, as we look at chapter 28, I want us to see, particularly in this chapter, one great lesson. It is actually a lesson that is found in so many passages of the Bible. And the lesson is about the grace of God to Jacob. The grace of God to Jacob. If you've been following our Bible studies, you will know what has happened in the previous chapters. We've had two incidents from Jacob's life, and neither of those incidents have shown Jacob in a good light. The first incident that is recorded in the Bible of Jacob's activities, we first have his birth, how he and his twin brother Esau, they were born. But then when the Bible begins to record the activities in Jacob's life, the first two activities, the first two things that are recorded in Jacob's life, which we've looked at, do not show him in the best possible light. In the first one, we find that he takes the birthright from his brother Esau. You remember that incident when Esau came back from hunting, he was tired, he was hungry, and Jacob says, sell me your birthright for a pot of stew or a bowl of stew. And he takes advantage of his brother Esau and takes the birthright. And then the incident we looked at last week, where he and his mother actually deceived Isaac. This was a rather terrible issue, where Isaac was ill, he was in bed, he thought he was dying, and he was blind. Now, if a person is in that situation, if he's ill, in fact, he's so ill he thinks he's dying, and he's blind, the last thing you do is take advantage of such a person. That is simply not done. But we saw last week that Jacob and his mother, they took advantage of this poor man. Now, having read those incidents, you would have thought that chapter 28, which follows immediately after those two incidents happened, and then we're straight into chapter 28. You would have thought that chapter 28 records how his brother Esau was angry with him, and how they had a row, and how Jacob's life became miserable because of his brother Esau and the hatred that his brother Esau had. And you would have thought that his father Isaac would have been angry with him. And you would have thought that there would have been a row there between father and son. Isaac telling off Jacob, and Isaac perhaps even pronouncing curses upon Jacob for what he has done. If that incident, if those things had been recorded in the next chapter, we wouldn't have been greatly surprised. We wouldn't have even been greatly surprised if we had read in chapter 28 that God himself was angry with Jacob, and God himself visited Jacob in judgment. But the remarkable thing about chapter 28 is that it talks about the blessings that Jacob received. We read about it this in verse 1. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. And blessed him. And he actually pronounces blessings upon him. We will look at it in a moment. But from verse 4, may he give the blessing of Abraham to you. So he receives blessing from his father Isaac. And then he leaves home and he goes to this place where it was called Luz, but then he called it Bethel. And God appeared to Isaac. To Jacob. Now, I wonder how he felt when he had this dream and God appeared to him. I wonder if he thought, I'm going to be in trouble, because he knew what he had done. He knew of the wicked things that he had done. But then when you read God's dealings with Jacob, and you read it from verse 13 onwards. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring, and so on. There are blessings and promises given to him. So I want us to see, and I think this passage was written specifically for this purpose. It was to show us the grace of God. It's rather like you have a very dark background. You have this background of sin. There is Jacob taking advantage of his father and taking the birthright. And there is Jacob taking advantage of his father's illness and blindness, and taking the blessing. This dark background. And against this dark background, there shines the grace of God. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that he can sin with impunity. It doesn't mean that we can sin as much as we want. God will just be gracious to us, and God will just forget all about our sins, and so on. Sin has consequences. This is not the only passage in Jacob's life. We're going to be studying Jacob's life for the next few weeks, and we will see the amount of difficulty these incidents brought to his life. I mean, for a start, for the next many years, he was cut off from his family, from his father and his mother, and he was in this foreign land, and he didn't have an easy time there. Now, that was as a consequence of his sin. And then we read when he comes back from Laban, we find that he has a very, very difficult time because his brother Esau is coming to meet him. And he had a terrible time as he waited for Esau. Again, a consequence of this sin. So the Bible is in no way downplaying his sin. And the Bible is in no way saying you can sin with impunity. It doesn't matter. But the Bible in this passage is teaching us this one lesson, that even when God's people fall into the worst of sins, God is still gracious to them. God doesn't approve of their sin. God does discipline them. God will deal with that sinful practice that is there, undoubtedly. But Moses writes this passage to remind us of this, that even when God's children fall into the worst of sins, God's grace does not depart from them. And all of God's dealings with them are in grace. Now, God will discipline, and God will bring hardship, and God will deal with that sinful habit, but it is all done in grace. So this passage then is about God's grace. There are three things that I want us to see in this passage, three things that happened to Jacob. The first thing that happens in this passage is that Jacob receives his father's blessing. Jacob receives his father's blessing. We read in the opening verses, the first four verses. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and directed him, saying, you must not take a wife from the Canaanite women. Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel. And then in verse 3, God Almighty, El Shaddai, God Almighty, bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offspring with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham. It's a very interesting passage because we're seeing actually two things there. We're seeing Isaac's repentance. You remember how these blessings had been given to Abraham, and Abraham had been told that this land would one day belong to his descendants, and that Abraham's descendants, one descendant in particular, would be a blessing to the nations of the world. There were these promises to Abraham. And then Abraham passed on those promises to his only son, Isaac. And Isaac received those blessings. And when the twins were still in his wife's womb, his wife was told that there are two nations in you, but the older will serve the younger. In other words, God had told Rebecca that it'll be Jacob who will inherit those blessings. Now, Isaac definitely knew that. We saw this last week. But Isaac wanted his favorite son Esau to get those blessings, which is why all the incidents of the previous chapter 27, happened. Well, Isaac has seen that you can't have your own way. God always has his own way, and the plans and purposes of God are never frustrated. Isaac had hoped to give the blessings to Esau, and yet, of course, the blessings went to Jacob. So this is, in a sense, Isaac repenting and Isaac saying to the Lord, you were right all along. Jacob should have had the blessing. And here is Isaac giving blessing to Jacob. But you see the grace of God here. Here is this man who is a deceiver, who has taken advantage of his brother, who has taken advantage of his father, and still he inherits the blessings. And we are told the reason. We're told it in the Old Testament book of Micah, and we are told it in the New Testament book of Romans. Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved. Nothing to do with Jacob himself, nothing to do with his character, nothing to do with any promises of reformation that he may have made, nothing to do with any of that. This is in God's wonderful purposes. God chooses those upon whom he will set his love. And God sets his love upon those whom he has chosen. And God continues to love them. And God continues to treat them in love. When they walk with him in obedience, blessings are showered upon them. When they fall into sin and disobedience, discipline is given to them. And discipline is a loving act of God. As a father disciplines his children, so the Lord disciplines us. Discipline proves that he's our loving father. But God's dealings with all his children are always in love. And so God moved in Isaac's heart, and Isaac willingly and joyfully passed on those blessings. So that's the first thing that happens here. Jacob receives his father's blessings. And secondly, and I've already made this point, but I will just come to it. We also see in the second place that Jacob inherits Abraham's promises. Jacob inherits Abraham's promises. We see this in the words that God spoke to him. And we find this that from verse 13, God says to him, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land in which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, there's a very, very definite echo there of the blessings that God gave to Abraham. God said to Abraham, your descendants will be like the sand on the seashore. And here he says to Isaac that his descendants will be like the dust of the earth, numerous. And God had said to Abraham that his descendants would occupy this land. And here again is that blessing. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And God had promised Abraham that the nations of the world would be blessed through him. And here again is that same promise. And your offspring shall, I'll just read that again. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So you see the grace of God in dealing with Jacob. He receives blessings from his father Isaac. He receives the blessings that were given to Abraham. God does not deal with us according to our sins, says Psalm 103. God does discipline us. I would not have you believe that we can sin with impunity. I wouldn't want you to go away thinking we can live totally careless, sinful lives and God doesn't care. It matters to God. But the grace of God doesn't depend upon our works. That is the very definition of grace. God does not deal with us according to our sins, but God deals with us according to his grace and his mercy and his love. And this man who didn't start out life terribly well has received the blessings given to Abraham. And then there's a third thing here. We have the blessings from his father Isaac. We have the blessings that were given to Abraham, now passed on to Jacob. And then the third thing we have, and this is really more wonderful, we have here Jacob receives assurance from God. Jacob receives assurance from God. I wonder how Jacob felt. He's there in the land of Luz. He's about 40 miles from his father's house. And he's on his way to Haran, where his uncle Laban lives. And he's in this isolated place, and he's sleeping there. And God appears. And Jacob has a conscience. And Jacob knows what he has done. Perhaps the very fact that his father blessed him incited his conscience even more. The book of Romans quotes Proverbs, and it says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. For in this way, you pile burning coals on his head. And I think what that means is that you provoke his conscience. Somebody is not very nice to you. They're cruel to you. They're unkind to you. And then they're in need. And you are gracious to them. You're generous to them. You're kind to them. Well, their conscience is bound to be pricked. And their sin is bound to be seen in greater relief. And I'm sure as Isaac called Jacob, Jacob trembled and thought, when my father was sick and felt like he was dying, I cheated him and he's calling me. But Isaac was very gracious to Jacob and Isaac pronounced blessings upon Jacob. That must have provoked his conscience. It must have pricked his conscience. And then there he is in Luz and God appears to him. And his conscience is telling him, you have done wrong. You have taken the birthright from your brother. You took advantage of your brother. And you took advantage of your father. And it's no good saying, this is what God intended in the first place. That sort of thing doesn't cleanse the conscience. And so God appears to him. And I think he trembled when this happened. If you want a superb, superb treatment of this passage, I found Matthew Henry. I've been reading Matthew Henry this afternoon. I found him very, very helpful. And Matthew Henry talks about this at some depth and talks about how Jacob must have trembled when the Lord appeared. And God first seals those promises. His father Isaac had given him Abraham's inheritance. Isaac had said to him, our father Abraham received these promises from God. Here you are, Jacob. I am passing them on to you. And God appears, and the first thing God does is seal those promises. We've already read that passage. And God says to him, yes, what your father gave you as a blessing, I seal it. You will indeed have descendants like the dust, and you will inherit this land. And your descendants will indeed be a blessing to the nations. Now, if that is all that God had said, Jacob would have been praising God. And Jacob would have said, how wonderful and how gracious God is that when he appeared to me, he didn't have a go at me. He didn't rant at me. He didn't shout at me. He didn't bring up those sins that I'd committed. But he sealed the blessings that my Father pronounced upon me. But you see, God is so very gracious. And God knows our condition. God knows how we feel. Are you having difficulty in your life today? You know, this passage teaches us God knows exactly how we feel. And I think he looked at Jacob. And Jacob wasn't in a good place. He had left his home. He had left his father who has just blessed him. He has left his mother who loved him. He was his mother's favorite. He has left home. And he's going to a strange country where he has never been before. Now, if today we were to do that, we would be in some tribulation about it. We would be in some temerity about it. You know, if one of us decided, right, I'm leaving. I was born in Clevedon. All my family are in Clevedon. They're all Christians. And we have a lovely relationship with my family. And I've lived in Clevedon all my life and known the love and the grace of my family and the grace of the church. And I'm going to leave and go to some unknown part of the world, Outer Mongolia or somewhere out there, and see what happens there. Well, you're going to go in some trepidation. It's not an easy thing to do. And you can imagine the kind of turmoil that he was in. And God knows this. God knows that in his mind and in his heart, there is turmoil. And so God speaks to him. And God doesn't just confirm the blessings of the promises of Abraham. Verses 13 and 14, God confirms those promises, seals those promises. But then God speaks again in verse 15. And God says to him, "Behold, I am with you. Jacob, you are in turmoil because you've left home. You've left a loving home, a father who has blessed you, a mother who loved you. You're going to a place you've never been before. You don't know what you're going to meet there, how they're going to treat you. Behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful way God deals with one of his children when they are in difficulty. God understands. And God comes along. When we're in difficulty, God comes alongside us. Even if that difficulty is caused by our own sin, God still comes alongside us. And God speaks gentle, gracious words of assurance. And there weren't just words. Before the words came, there was that vision, that lovely vision of the ladder and angels ascending and descending. And it is God again speaking by means of this vision. "Jacob, I am with you. Jacob, I'm sending angels to watch over you and protect you, to go with you. You are not alone. You may feel you're alone. You are not alone." You know how the Lord Jesus spoke about this in John's Gospel, chapter 1. And the Lord Jesus said, in a sense, that that ladder speaks of him. It's a type of Christ. Because Jesus is the means by which blessings come from heaven. And praise from God's people go into heaven. And here was this ladder with angels ascending and descending, bringing blessing upon Jacob, bringing protection, and bringing a watchful eye of God upon Jacob. So God has been very gracious to a man who has fallen into terrible sin and who is now in some turmoil because he has just left a home where he was being loved and blessed and is going to an unknown future. God graciously speaks to him and God says to him, I'm with you. I will go with you. I will protect you where you go. You won't die in Laban's house. I will bring you back here and I will bless you. Tremendous grace, you see. It is the grace of God that we study in a passage like that. He receives his father's blessing. He inherits Abraham's promises and he receives assurance from God. Well, praise God for his grace.